Amen. As God washed away each and every stain. Amen. Amen. Let's just sing that song, I am the God that healeth thee. And I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your maker. I sent my word and I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord, your healer. I sent my word and I healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer. You are the God. You are the God that healeth me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent your word and you healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. You are the God. You are the God that saved my soul. You are the God, my Savior. You sent your word and forgave all my sins. You are the God, my Savior. You are the God. You are the God that saved my soul. You are the God, my Savior. You sent your word and forgave all my sins. You are the God, my Savior. You sent your word. And you sent your word, and you healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are welcome in this place, mighty God. You are welcome in this place, Abba Father. You are welcome in this place. To you, our King, we praise. You are welcome in this place, mighty God. Amen. How many just want to worship Him today? Amen. Let's just give the Lord a round of applause. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being so good to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. To be in the house of the Lord today, amen.
back.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we love you, God. Lord, we appreciate you so much, Lord, for coming, yes, Lord. And Lord, we know that you're going to meet us again this morning, Lord, in this little humble sanctuary, God, Lord, a little storefront, God, Lord, Lord, abandoned by businesses, Lord. And here, Lord, you set up your business, God, Lord. And we must be about our Father's business, Lord Jesus, Lord. And how we want to grow your business, God, Lord, and invest in it, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we want to be worthy, God, Lord, of taking care of your business for you, Lord Jesus. Good stewards, God, of what you've given us, God, Lord. The full revealed word of God, Lord Jesus, God, Lord. Lord, it cannot be disputed, God, Lord. Your word proves this business is right, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we want to give everything we got, Lord, and do everything we can for you, God, Lord, to show others, Lord, this business, God, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we just love you so much, God, Lord. Lord, you're worthy, God, Lord, of all things, God. Just bless, Lord, the tithes and offerings, God, Lord. Bless everyone that pushed their way out, God, yes, Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, we just want to give you everything we got this morning, God, Lord. Help us, Lord, to get in the Spirit, God, Lord. And Lord, not to just be here, Lord, and Lord, just repeat words, God, on a screen, God, Lord. But Lord, yes, out of the heart, God, Lord, may our just may these be cries, God, Lord, and desires in our heart, God, Lord. Real, set aside just for you, God, and you alone, God, Lord. For you, the true and only God, Lord. We love you so much, Lord. Just bless, Lord, all the saints, God, Lord. All these little these song worship leaders up here, God, Lord. Just bless them, Lord. Be with our pastor, God, as you bring this word, God. Help him, Lord, to get up here, Lord, and set aside himself, God, Lord, and get beside himself, Lord, and let you just take over, God, Lord, and present, Lord, what you'd have us eat today, God, Lord.
Amen.
And Lord, just give us hunger, God, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just sing that little song, I'll say yes, Lord, yes.
And I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, well, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Sing that again. Well, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to... Hallelujah, Lord! I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes.
And then why don't we sing that again? Greet your neighbor.
Well, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes.
With my whole heart, I'll
my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Are you washed in the blood? In the hallelujah, Lord, sing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior? Well, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? Well, are you washed? Are you washed in the blood? In that soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white? Oh, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, hallelujah! Oh, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the... Thank you, Lord! Oh, yes, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. With all your heart, are you washed? Yes! In the blood, in that soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside, now lay aside the garments. Applause, saints. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. Worthy, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Amen. Now, burdens down, Lord. Burdens down, Lord. Since I laid my burdens down. Burdens down, Lord. Burdens down. Lord, glory, glory.
For the word of God today, man. How many come expecting to hear from God this morning, amen? The very mind of God in our lives today, man. Let's just sing that song, Created Me a Clean Heart, as our brother Cam would start to come his way, amen.
Created me a clean heart, oh God. Oh, Lord, create.
salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Let's sing that one more time. Cast me not away, Lord. Hallelujah, oh Lord, and cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Oh Lord. This morning, amen. Good to be a Christian. Good to be a servant of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Amen. Today, this morning, we have communion, and we'll be doing feet washing afterwards as well. So we're going to jump right into the Word of God and just try to enjoy ourselves a little bit in the house of God. And it's good to see those that were able to press out to the house of God this morning who found it to be important to be in the house of God. Amen. So certainly by the grace of God, it is a pleasure and a privilege to be here. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be a partaker of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And by the grace of God, it's also a pleasure to have Mr. and Mrs. Llewellyn here this morning. Amen. May I give them a round of applause. Even though they're not in here. So anyway, they're not even in here. But anyway, we certainly love the Lord and appreciate all that God has done. And many of us went to the wedding. That was surely nice, a beautiful little time. And now, of course, we get to move on to the next step in our lives. Amen, whatever that may be. And God knows all things, and we just know a little bit. But yet, by the grace of God, a lot of times as we be moving into this morning, we've allowed ourselves to be maybe just cast aside a little bit from what God truly intends. Amen. So anyway, this morning I'd like to open up our Bibles to one portion of Scripture this morning. And I've been all over the place lately, and today I'll be at a different place. But just trying to go where the Holy Ghost leads us and where He desires to feed us at. Amen. So remember, as a shepherd, we're taking you to a pasture this morning. Praise God. And by the grace of God, when God leads you to a pasture, there's grass to eat. There's everything you need. God doesn't lead you to a dry desert land. God leads you right to the food. Amen. So I pray that this morning, if you could, maybe just shake the fatigue off yourself a little bit. How many of us have been running ragged? Amen? Praise God. Well, you know what the Bible says, that at that end time that he shall seem to wear the saints out, right? And by the grace of God, this is the time and the age in which the devil is trying to wear you out. Amen? So by the grace of God, though he may want to wear us out, we have one that can wear us up. Amen. And that would be the Holy Ghost. Amen. And notice when God, he would allow Satan to bring something forward, God would combat that with something greater every time. Amen. So today, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Now notice here, I'd like to be getting to a little thought this morning. I will not be able to finish it today unless you want to be here till 5. But anyway, at 1 Peter 1:9, if we could, for those who are there. Simple sermon this morning, and to be honest with you, I don't have a clue how to put this together. But I'm just trusting that the Holy Ghost will do that Himself. Amen. So we'll see what He does, and we'll just be patient and desiring and trying to make an atmosphere that He can come and speak as He desires, right? So notice here in the 9th verse it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Sounds pretty important. Amen. Remember, there's a song that the angels cannot sing. The song of redemption. Praise God. Finishing this off, 13th verse, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you, notice, at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love You today, God. And Lord, I love You, God. And Lord, I believe as I say that, God, I believe there's a church, oh God, that's standing right here with me, God. Lord, a church is not a building, it's a people, Lord. And Lord, today I believe we're all standing here and we're saying, God, we love You. Lord, more than ever before, we love You. More than ever before, we need You, God. And this morning as we come before You, God, we're just asking, God, that the author of this book, Lord, this precious book, oh God, that many men died to get to us, God. And God, many, oh God, even a Savior, God Himself would die to bring this book to us, God. We're asking, Lord, that You would come, Lord, and inspire, Lord, the words spoken today, God. As we realize, God, that Lord, we're pulling, oh God, from the Holy Ghost land this morning, a storehouse, God. And Lord, by the grace of God, we're desiring, Lord, that the revelation of this Word would be with us, God. We're trusting, God, that certainly You'll come. And Lord, I just want to get out of the way right now, Lord. There isn't one thing I want to say, God. But Lord, if I can just get myself out of the way, if the church can just get themselves out of the way, Lord, we'll be enjoying ourselves in the house of God surely this morning, God. We believe that this isn't just some little religious church here, God, but we believe that the bride of Jesus Christ is gathered here right now, Lord. And God, the meeting that we have found one another on this earth, oh God, You placing us in this location, us being drawn together, God. And Lord, as many have ran, God, Lord, here we are. Lord, we're clinging on to this Word. We're clinging on to this Holy Ghost, God. And I ask this morning, God, that Lord, let us cling even greater by the end of this Word, God, to the Savior that died, oh God, those precious bleeding blood stains, God. We just ask, God, now, Lord, that You just come, Lord. Lord, we need You, Lord. We have no ability of our own. As a church, as a bride, we cry out to You, God. We have need of a head this morning, Lord. A body doesn't have a head, God. Lord, and Lord, You are the head to the body of Jesus Christ, God. Come, Lord. May the head speak, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, the bride said together, amen. You may be seated. We had a title for this morning's sermon. We'd like to entitle this message, and like I said, I will not get done with this, Searching What and What Matter of Time will be the title this morning. And by the grace of God, we'll be working with the Spirit of Prophecy. Amen? So we'll see what the Lord will open up here, and of course, we'll just be pleased. Amen? as we pull on and create the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost, that God can come speak. Amen. We should be getting drawn closer to the Holy Ghost as these days come near, right? Not just to the Holy Ghost, but to one another. And as we cling to one another, we realize that we're here together. We're here for the same cause. We're here to see Christ uplifted. Amen. We believe we have a foundation of truth that has been basically laid here, that God is part of this body. Amen. So this morning, we'd like to turn your attention back to 1 Peter 1:9. And a very simple sermon this morning, I think. And we'll just allow God to say what He would have to say. But I just found some things that were very very much a blessing to me, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to you. Notice in 1 Peter 1:9, I'd like to start back here. Remember, searching what and what matter of time is what we're looking at this morning. Now notice here, Peter picks up, and of course, Peter, when did he write this? Almost 2,000 years ago, amen? But yet we find in 1 Peter 1:9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. So notice, he's pointing to those that have had went before him, right? He's pointing to something as far as a salvation that they had pointed to, these prophets of old before him. Remember, we look at Peter almost 2,000 years ago. He looks hundreds of years, maybe even a thousand or so years to even before him, to who he points to right here. Amen. But notice as we continue, it says, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. So notice he's talking about salvation, but yet this salvation is grace. Who is that grace? It's Jesus Christ. Not focusing on that this morning, as you see our title is not grace. But yet notice here in the 11th verse, it says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. This morning we'll be focusing on this portion of Scripture. But I want you to notice here that now he's talking about these prophets. He's talking about a salvation and a grace that would come to you. But notice what he says here. He's talking about these prophets, but he says that they were searching what and what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. Now, notice what this is actually saying. Because we see men here who could not be baptized with the Holy Ghost on soul level. But notice the Bible said that they had the Spirit of Christ within them. But this is what I want you to see. Although they did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost on soul level, they still had something upon them that moved them in a position that they had to move with what they had. Now, this is what I want you to see. A lot of times, we just see here ourselves. We place ourselves in this age, in this hour. But I want you to move past the application of the Holy Ghost that you have currently found. And I want you to see an application of the Holy Ghost that you're supposed to have. Amen. Because I want you to notice, church, that these people did not have a baptism that you could have. But notice, although they didn't have that, they still pulled from what they felt moving on them. And notice, did God shut the doors on them? No, by no means He could not, because they were the elected seed of God. Now, notice here, if we could, it says, searching what? What? Or what manner of time? So, what time? And what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify? So, what were they doing? They were searching within them a time and a manner of time for what? Because something about them testified the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, don't let me lose you on this. This is not complicated. I will do my best not to make it complicated. And hopefully that's by yielding of the Holy Ghost. But I want you to see this morning that something inside of them was telling them that they were the testimony. There was something in their life that testified that God was God. But notice, it didn't just stop at a Jehovah. It actually pointed to Christ. But notice, they could not be satisfied with just some sort of a form of the word. Notice, this is the commonplace revelation of the prophets of old before Peter. They had to live something out. And they were moved to live that out. Not recognizing fully what they were looking for. So notice, they only had a simple form of what they were to be. Of what they were to testify, if I could say it that way. They didn't know that His name was Jesus Christ. But they knew that He was Christ. He was the Anointed One. He was the Word. He was the express image of God Himself. Not a different person, but the same person. And something inside of them testified the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So let me say it like this. They were living out, expressing something that they had no control over. But notice, the Scripture said that they had to search it out. So when they realized they had something on them, they didn't look for something way out here. They searched for the revelation of what the Spirit within them was trying to signify. What does the word signify means? It means what it points to. I hope the sign. I pray you can see this. Now, notice here, it says, searching what or what manner of time. Now, so notice here, what is the manner? Manner is the word poios, and it means of what sort or nature. That's why when you look at the prophecy of Christ in the Old Testament, it didn't just say that God will come, but it actually pointed to what? A time and a nature. So God wasn't leaving you with just some thought, okay, God's going to come. But God's whole purpose was to show you the matter of time and the time itself. He wanted you to have the full revelation of what it was. Now, church, you have to move on with me in your thought just for a second and then jump right back. But I want you to understand that what these people were doing was prophesying to something thousands, hundreds of years, if not thousands of years ahead of them. Now, let me quicken your revelation. What are you prophesying for? You're not the prophecy. You're the fulfillment. But how did they fulfill the prophecy level of it? Do you understand that God was only satisfied when they, by the Spirit, were anointed to search out the very Spirit within them? Do you realize this? They had to make decisions just like you make decisions. They made stupid decisions just like you made stupid decisions. But the irony to it is even when a decision was stupid, you can still see that God, there was a type. There was something He was trying to show. So a lot of times you said, I did something stupid. But don't you realize you are fulfilling the prophecy that God has in this hour for your life? Don't you get it? When Samson was there, and Samson, he fell to a woman. When Samson fell to a woman and God stripped him of his strength, poked his eyes out, that was not something stupid. That was pointing to this hour when God would allow your eyes or your prophet to be took from the scene and you would have to cry out, Lord, once more. You say, Samson, you big failure. That was part of the romance. That was the will of God. But we take our life and we don't put our life like it's in the Bible. How many of us, we search out the prophecy trying to be fulfilled in our lives? How many of you are searching the manner of this time? We say, oh, I got the Holy Ghost. But did you know that you could search out that Holy Ghost so it could manifest this Word in you? Now, notice the whole purpose of these people when they were making their decisions. You see, a lot of times we just say, okay, these people didn't pray, they just went and did this thing and did that. But do you realize the Scripture said they searched it out? Right. Hallelujah. Right. You know, kind of like Abraham. Abraham brought forth a son of the bondwoman. But that's a type too. All of this is type. All of this is showing, foreshadowing what the perfection of the ministry of Christ to be fulfilled in you. You know what? You're the one that's going to be in the bride chamber. You're the one that God was looking for. He was always looking for a Gentile to be His bride. And we put this thing way back here when, church, you are the bride. Not the sixth age bride. Not the fifth age bride. Not the Ephesians bride. You are the return of Ephesians made flesh in this hour. You're just as much the Word as Christ was the Word Himself. But what's the issue? Satan tells you you're mortal when the Word says you are immortal. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And we look and say, if I could only be equal with God. You're trying to make it a prophecy instead of allowing it to be the fulfillment. Not, I will be a child of God. I will be a saint. I am. Amen. Why? Don't you realize what this is trying to move you into? This is trying to move you into the place that you and God can operate on one level. You think Jesus Christ wants to come in the inside, fill you with the Holy Ghost, and wants you to walk around aimlessly making your own decisions? His desire is that you have a revelation that He is there. You have a revelation that He can do the greater works. Not you. The problem is, you think you got to do the greater works. The thing is, you think you got to discern the two spirits in the framework of the church. But that's not the prophecy. You have to see what you are. But what you are is not just a flesh image here. It is God unveiled in flesh again. What tells you that? Oh, it's a feeling. No, it can't be a feeling. That might be part of it, but it must be a revelation of the Word of this hour. Then we'd be a little bit more choicy about things now, wouldn't we? Because you'd realize that not every choice is just some free moral agency. I mean, do you understand that? We say, oh God, you put me in free moral agency, so I got to make every choice. That's not the mindset. The mindset is He gave you free moral agency so that you could yield yourself to His choice. So you could be fulfilled in what His Spirit is leading your heart to do. So now, do you get it? So the whole point of the Old Testament was not just a love letter to an Old Testament church. Not just individuals being revealed back there, but the whole thing pointed to you. You see that? It all was pointing to your revelation. Hallelujah. Now, notice this in Luke 10:21, if we could. It says here, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son, who the Son is, but the Father. And who the Father is, but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal Him. And he turned him unto His disciples, and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see, that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. So notice, when you look back at 1 Peter 1, you see that they were testifying of something. They were showing something was what? Was real. But they didn't have a clue, really, of what they were saying. When Isaiah shot off in Isaiah 7, and he said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Do you think he fully understood that? But no! He was in tune with the Maker, and the Maker anointed him to prophesy the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What I'm trying to show you today is there was a level of prophecy that was given in the Old Testament There was a level of prophecy that was given at the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And there's a level that should be manifesting today. Hallelujah. Glory. Yep, we're just not pew warmers here. We're just not people that sit around and say, oh, we got a nice church. But this is a place where you are to move into the realm of prophecy. You have to see that prophecy is being fulfilled in you right now. You're meant to bring forth the Spirit of Christ. But are you willing to search Him out? You know what a lot of problem is in the message today? We want to make everything a prophet decades ago. We want to make everything an Old Testament type or an early New Testament type instead of realizing we're the fulfillment of all of it. Amen. The thing isn't to keep that empowered. The thing is to realize what that is and to be empowered yourself. Amen. Oh, ain't getting that one, huh? Amen. The key this day is not to put God in the past. Not to put God in the future, although He's in the past, although He's in the future. But to realize that the Bible days are being fulfilled right now in you. You got a mission today. You have a calling today. If I only knew I had the Holy Ghost. Do you realize these people didn't even have the Holy Ghost, but they knew that something was moving on them? They were still pulling on something when they didn't have it deep down. You don't need to sit there and say, well, I don't know if I got the Holy Ghost or not. If the Spirit is moving on you, pull from it until He does baptize you. Because I guarantee it, the more you pull on it, the more it will reveal itself to you. Then we'll be sitting here. We'll know we have the Holy Ghost. We'll know we'll have the power. We'll know that God, He's not just around us, but He's in us. This is a transformation. This is not popular preaching. This is not message orthodoxy. But it don't make me want to leave the message. It just shows me the message isn't me. Hallelujah! You sit there and say, oh, Brother Cam's leaving the message. I'm leaving any denominational form of the message. But I'm going on to the place that the fulfillment of all these prophecies is manifested in me. Amen. It's time to search out what you say you got. Because if what you got is the same as what they had, it will do the same thing that theirs did. Now, so notice here, they desired to see all these things, but they didn't know what it was. Meaning what? That everything that was coming to them was symbol form. What is a symbol? It's an expression that doesn't show exactly what it is. You see, if I draw up here, let's say you're from a different country, and I draw this. This is a part of a mathematical equation. What is that? It's equals. I heard somebody say it. That's an equal sign. Okay, now you got it? Still an equal sign. But this is an equal sign. What tells you that's an equal sign? Because someone has revealed that to you. If you never did our mathematics, would you know what this is? You say that's two lines that are parallel to each other. I have no clue. But I know it's something. But what was it? It's just a symbol of what the revelation of it is. But since you have a revelation of what this is, when you see 6 plus 5, you don't stop there when you see this. This tells you the revelation is to add 6 plus 5, and the, what this is what it equals. This tells you 11. But what is it? It moved past a symbol form, and it moved to a reality form. It showed you what it was. These people in the Old Testament, they seen this, but God didn't reveal to them what it was. So they couldn't fully manifest the answer. They sat there and said, what is this? What's this going to be? They had a reason to do that. Do you? So notice here, Hebrews 11:13, it says here, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. So they didn't see the promises, but they seen that something was coming. So the Spirit of God within them could signify. Because notice what they're doing. Having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. See, they were searching for the answer. They seen something and they found that it was real. Oh, hallelujah. God sent a prophet. Yeah, I know that. But if God sent a prophet, is this to you? Just a symbol. You don't really have a revelation of what He is. What He's for. Hallelujah, that's a big problem in the message today. Oh yeah, got a prophet, yep. That's what He looks like. Look at the picture. Why are we trying to focus so much on the picture when the prophet actually shows what you are? You see that? You can do all you can to make people fall in love with a dead prophet. But when God puts the prophet in you, that shows something different. It shows that the life of God wasn't just in a man long ago, but the life of God is in you. Amen. Isn't that what you want? Leave behind the former things. Move into perfection. Because perfection is God in you, church. Hallelujah. So notice here, they were persuaded of them. And embraced. Yeah, maybe the cloud isn't right. And confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. So what did the symbol form reveal to them? They couldn't even sit still. Because the revelation that God gave them of what they knew pointed them to something greater, but they couldn't attain it. Hallelujah. So notice here, Revelation 19:10. It says here, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This just kicks Your theology, all over the place. My theology, all over the place. Because here you see a servant talking to John, who also types the bride. And he said that him and his fellow brother, they had the testimony of Jesus. What was the testimony of Jesus? They lived faithful to Jesus. They were led by Jesus. They followed God. So let me try to bring this down to your level. So they went to church. They had mind battles and overcome. Lost and overcome. They had themselves, what? Beaten all the time by the devil trying to make them accept something that they weren't. But because of the elected seed within them, the Spirit of God was perfected for them in their day and age. What are you trying to say? In all the simplicity, in all the lack of excitement they had in their life, oh, not a prophet. Oh, look at the prophet this age. He did that, that, and that, that. He's out hunting all the time. And we can read about several testimonies. But what about all the times he's out there? Boy, he's just kind of like a normal person just like you. But what was it? When you look at the Bible, it says the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. If you can see this, right now, you're holding the testimony of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone here not holding the testimony of Jesus Christ? Wow. Okay. So what are you showing? You're showing the spirit of prophecy. But what are you prophesying of? Something that's almost here. Why you wouldn't be prophesying for something else? Because that is the completion of what you are. That's why you can look in Hebrews and says, and them without us could not be made perfect. That's why they were still pointing at you. Because they, without you, could not be made perfect. So what they were was prophesying of you because you were to bring the fulfillment of what they were. So, and no brave hands that raised their hands said, I don't have the testimony of Jesus Christ. But how many times do you feel like that? But I'll tell you right now, you can't be a Christian and not have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because do you realize in the Old Testament they didn't have the Holy Ghost and they were still giving testimony of Jesus Christ? So why can't your life testify to Jesus Christ if you don't have the Holy Ghost? Amen. Right. Amen. It does! Because the seed is making known what it is. But it is a progressive work in you. Amen. Well, now they got everybody wondering what's going on. Don't you see where you're at? Because notice what it says here in 1 Peter 1:11. It says, searching water, what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify. What it pointed to. When it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. And the glory that should follow. So notice, this is why this is important in this age. Let me break this thought to you very quickly. If you wanted to know that Elisha was a double portion of Elijah, can you show me that in 1 Peter here? How about James? How about Samson, type of the bride? Show me where they told you that. You can't do it, can you? Why can't you do it? Because that was still symbol for them. For them. So there's actually a portion of the word that wasn't revealed to them. When you study the New Testament, what is the overall picture you get from the epistles? When you move into, let's say, Acts and Romans, Corinthians, and all these books, Hebrews, what do you see when you see Hebrews? You see a book that's sitting there doing nothing but pointing to Jesus Christ. You see Melchizedek, Jesus Christ. You see the high priest, you see Jesus Christ. You see the blood of bulls and goats done away with, Jesus Christ. You see, everything's pointing to Jesus Christ. Well, what am I trying to say? What you have was symbol form to them. What God was doing in their age is what they were seeing. Do you see it? When the 11 disciples were moving to Pentecost, the Scripture, as we preached here, keeps on saying, and then it was brought back to them what Christ had said or what Christ had did. And everything was pointing to the revelation of their hour. Let me say it like this. They had a message of that hour. And the message of that hour brought the power of that hour to them. But the message of their hour was not the message of your hour. Why do you think a denomination can't move on? Why do you think a mega church can't move on? Because they can't put Christ in the message of their day. Because Amos 3:7, God will do nothing except first He show it to His servants, the prophets. Amen. Right? That's why when you look at people trying to interpret the Bible, right? If you try to interpret the Bible, that makes you the interpreter of the Bible. Right? You got all these people trying to memorize the Greek, trying to memorize the Hebrew, because it brings a better understanding. It doesn't bring a better understanding. It brings their understanding. That's why they're dead as a doornail, and they can't manifest Jesus Christ. That's why you got to point to what God did. What Jesus did in His children. The Bible days were fulfilled in the King James writing. You don't have to look somewhere else. And when God sent a prophet in this day, He showed you in the Word that it was fulfilled in this hour. Why? Because it only come by a message. A message just ain't an anointing. A sign or this or that, but a message is when the Bible unfolds itself in its current state. Now, want you to see maybe a thing or two. Because remember here, these things should not be hidden from us. These things should not push us past where we're at. Now, if you can see the direction that this is going, you can see that this is the direction that God's been trying to get you to go the whole time. Well, Brother Cam's got a new message today. No, it's not. It's the same message you've been hearing. It's the same message that's been pointed to you. You say, Brother Cam, why don't you preach something different? Because this is your fulfillment. I ain't looking for an eighth messenger. I ain't looking for another soul. I ain't got no soul. I got one soul. I ain't looking for a prophet to come riding back the trail again. I'm looking for a Holy Ghost to ride that trail again. Hallelujah! Yeah, we ain't buying no airplane here. Because this ain't the age of the airplane. This is the age of the astronaut. He's coming in the clouds, and we shall meet Him in the air. I ain't worried about flying around no plane. I'm looking for this mortal to be changed to immortality. This corruption to take on incorruption. Why? That's the message of my day. Haven't you noticed that that prophecy is being fulfilled in my testimony? Now, notice here, I'm going to have to skip a whole bunch of stuff. That's okay. Let me move around. Now, notice here, if we could, let's go to John. Let's go back to our original scripture in 1 Peter. Now, notice here in 1 Peter 1:12. And notice we just left where it testified the sufferings of Jesus Christ and the glory that should follow. So what were they doing? They weren't just talking about the sufferings of Christ. But notice this vague word coming in. The glory that should follow. Glory? Well, what is that? Don't you see what that is? Sure, that's an upper room. Sure, that's God coming on the scene. But is that fulfilled back there? By no means. If you actually, we begin to look in this, we'll see a greater picture of it. Now notice here, 12th verse, it says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. So who are they preaching to? When they searched the Holy Ghost out and the Holy Ghost prophesied, testified through them, who are they preaching? It was revealed, but not to themselves, but they ministered unto us. Now notice, this is actually 2,000 years ago that Peter sang this. But notice, 13th verse, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope unto the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ? Now hold on with me. I ain't been that long yet. But brother, you said yet. Ain't no yet with the Holy Ghost. Come on. You ate enough? Yep, I think I'm full. I'm ready to go. Okay, well, you can go. So why is my spirit and your spirit testifying two different things? I better be quiet. What is the revelation of Jesus Christ? Because notice this. It's talking about a grace to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the revelation? It's the revealing. The unveiling of Jesus Christ. So we're talking now about a grace. We're talking now about a time that you'll have to gird up the loins of your mind. Kind of like the greatest battle ever fought. It's in your mind. But notice, there's a grace that's coming at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a law coming at Jesus Christ. There's a grace coming at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to a few things very quickly here. Daniel 9:2. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books, the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face in the Lord to seek by prayer, supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now notice what happened here. God revealed to him that the time of the captivity was over. He understood this. He's seen that the desolations were being finished. So what is this saying? Just what we've been working with 1 Peter 1. So Daniel's now, we're showing in the Old Testament, he's fulfilling this. Notice, fourth verse. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We have sinned, have committed iniquity, have done wickedly, have rebelled, even by departing from Thy precepts and from Thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto Thy servants the prophets, which spake in Thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces. So one man caught the vision and he said everyone else had confusion of faces. Confusion. They weren't understanding the hour they were living in. But when Daniel seen it by the word, he's seen we're sinners. He's seen we're falling short. He's seen that what? We're all confused. But there's a revelation for this hour. Amen. So notice, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. Why are they confused? Because they're backslid. Because they got too much iniquity. So they weren't carrying the Spirit of Christ that Daniel was carrying. But when Daniel saw that even he, notice, right before this, Daniel was just as confused as everybody else. But something quickened in him that he had to start looking for something. I better hurry up. So notice. So what? I'll stop right there for time's sake. So notice, here it is, coming to an end. So God actually moves to the place in Daniel 9:22. An angel comes forth to him and says, O Daniel, I am now come. forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to shew thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring into everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. I'll stop with that. But church, look at this. God gave him the time. And we understand, if we spent some more time, that he gave them the nature of that time for his people. But notice, if we move to Daniel 12, we see in the fourth verse, I'm skipping now, it talks about the end days, but it says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So notice what happens now. We understand that God prophesies through him the time, the manner. But God tells him, seal up the book for the end time. Daniel was the prophet to the Jews. So I ask you, what Jews have had a revelation of what this says? This is a prophecy. But the fulfillment, the revealing of that word can't happen until the time of the end. Meaning what? That there will be a Jewish people who will be set not for that prophecy, but the fulfillment of that prophecy. They are the fulfillment of this message. Are you the fulfillment of that message? No, because you're not a Jew. No, because that's not your prophet. But God's going to send them two prophets. Hallelujah. And through the two prophets, they'll catch the revelation of this. That's why you've seen that your prophet didn't go through Daniel tremendously. That's why you can see, you start looking at Daniel's 70 weeks and all these things, you start getting all confused up, because there's so many things that are kind of confusing to understand. Because they are hard to understand. Because the purpose of Daniel's 70 weeks wasn't to give you the revelation of the Jews. It was to place your time period. And we could show you that if we had time, but we don't, and I know we're getting tired, so I better hurry up. But notice here, you see that God, he determined the fulfillment of that prophecy, and it will come. But what are they supposed to be looking for? When those two prophets come, are they going to start looking for something way off? Start looking for the future. Start saying, "Oh God, if it could only be me." This word is to reveal them. Yeah, that's why you see an Antichrist in there. That's why it ain't your baby to deal with the Antichrist. Well, I hope it's not. Because the bride will be gone. I believe it's not. But we need to be a little bit more sure about who we are. How many of you are going to watch two prophets? How many of you are going to watch 144,000 elected? How many of you are going to watch the Battle of Armageddon? Anybody got new plans for this? You start studying this thing out, and I can't make sense of it with this message. I can't. And then it just comes to me and said, "You know what? This isn't even for me to begin with. I ain't going to be here. I'm not the fulfillment of this. I'm not made to go through a tribulation. I'm made to be like Enoch. Now notice here, very quickly, John 21, 20. It says here, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. This is right after Jesus said, feed my lambs, feed my sheep to Peter. Seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? So he points at John. Because, you know, John's pretty tight with Jesus. And Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Don't worry about him. If he's going to stay until I come, what's that to you? Follow me. Now notice this. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciple should not, that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that this his testimony is true. Now I'm going to stop right there for time's sake. But notice here, now we see John coming forth, and here Jesus is getting ready to send him to the upper room and get filled with the Holy Ghost. And yet, Peter says, what are you going to do with John? And John said, and Jesus says to him, don't worry about him. He stays till I come. Don't worry about him. Follow me. So now the rumor's coming forth that John is going to see the translation. So all these people have an expectation that as long as John the Revelator is there, that the rapture is going to happen while he's here. But that's not what John caught by revelation. So you have a whole bunch of people thinking that John had to be there for the revelation or the fulfillment of that coming to happen. But is John 2,000 years old hiding in a cave? Not so much. But look at what's happening. It's building an expectation upon the people. That boy, the coming of the Lord must not be very far off here. The fulfillment of all these things are just around the corner. Because you know, John's still here. Well, how can we have a rapture without the prophet here? And God takes your prophet away. You say, now what do we do? Can you imagine? There's probably, you know, just like there's a great falling away in 77. Just like there's a great falling away in 65. Probably in A.D., whatever it was, when John the Revelator died, there was a falling away. Because the people were placing an expectation on a man instead of the Word of God. Hallelujah. But notice, what we do know about this is John couldn't die until he seen the coming. He seen the coming of Christ. But what form was it? Reality form or symbol form? Symbol form. Now notice, we see very quickly Revelations 1:1. And I won't go further than this because of our time, our precious, precious time. It says in the first verse, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what is this? This is the revealing, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. But how many of them had that revelation? No, because the revelation was in simple form. John had the revelation. But remember, the Scripture says, if we could, Revelation 10:4. Notice, and when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are there, that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be no time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophet. Hallelujah. Is this ABC enough for you? Because notice here, when God gave John the revelation, which includes 22 chapters in the Bible there, that all through 2,000 years, they had no idea what it meant. They probed that. They speculated. They didn't understand. Well, why? Because when God revealed it to John, he said, seal it up. Because there was people who that book wasn't to be revealed to. The book was meant to be sealed to them. Sealed? Well, when you have an envelope that is sealed, can you read what's inside that envelope? You can't read it. It's sealed. So now, when you see that he's bringing forth a seal on a book, what is it? It's showing another prophecy. But if it was sealed up, that means at some point it would have to be revealed. Notice how it talks about the seven thunders, right? One voice, seven thunders. And we find out here that now the seven thunders shouted out, but John's not allowed to write it. But then the Scripture goes right to the fact that time shall be no more. And when time shall be no more, we see it moves right into a seventh angel who will reveal all the mysteries. So he would reveal what was sealed up. Well, I ask you, church, when two prophets that go to Israel open up the book of Daniel and start expounding the word to the 144,000, what are they going to do? Let me say this. What are they going to do in 3.5 years? Well, why did I say that? Yeah, we're a little over 3.5. So, what are they going to do? He's going to reveal, the two prophets will reveal it to the children of God. And the children of God will what? They will fulfill the prophecy. Right. They will bring forth the Spirit of God, the message of that hour. That's the purpose of it. So I ask you, when the prophet of this hour breaks open what these seven thunders, because remember, Daniel's 70 weeks was for the Jews, but the book of Revelation is for the Gentiles. Not that the Jews can't point to it, but it's to manifest you. So, we see then what? You take the book. You eat the book. You become the book. That's the fulfillment. Well, I need to prophesy something else to come. We know by this message that we're supposed to have tongues, we're supposed to have gifts in the church, and they're supposed to prophesy the manners of our life. Anybody here want the manners of their life prophesied? Brother so-and-so, don't do this. Brother so-and-so, watch out here. Brother so-and-so, God's going to do this for you. So the prophecy does not need to speak of 1,000 years off, because the fulfillment of it is for you. But what? That's why it comes down to Revelation. Because you have to leave the symbol form and move into reality form. First seal, paragraph 139. It says, then when the Lamb took the book and broke the first seal, God from His eternal throne to say what that seal was to be revealed. But when it's placed before John, it was in a symbol. When John saw it, it was still a mystery. Why? It wasn't even revealed right then. It cannot be revealed until what he said here at the end time. Don't you see it? This whole book of Revelation has been absolutely hidden. It was hidden to the Azusa Street people. It was hidden to Smith Wigglesworth. Oh, even Charles Finney, how? It was hidden from them. And their whole desire was to see the things that you would see. And we sit here and say we're little nobodies. We're this and that. When the whole of the book and the revelation is in your hands. Notice, but it come in a symbol when the thunder. Remember, a loud clapping noise of a thunder is the voice of God. That's when the Bible said, a clap of thunder. They thought it was a thunder, but it was God. He understood it, for it was revealed to him. See? It was a thunder. And notice the first seal opened. The first seal, when it was opened in the symbol form, it thundered. Now, what about when it's opened in its reality form? Brings the revelation of what it was, of what it is. When we look at Revelation 4:1, and John says, I heard a voice said, come up hither. A symbol form will say, God called John up to heaven. But a reality form will say, He's calling me up to heaven. When you sit there, and you say, when he opened the seventh seal, there was a half hour of silence. The symbol form says, what is that? I guess all heaven was quiet for a half hour. A symbol form would say, well, maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. But a reality form can look at the prophet and say, that was the coming of the Lord. And he had to be quiet. Because what he was doing there If Satan knew about it, he could do great damage to what it was. So the symbol form says what? Well, God can't tell nobody because Satan will know about it. You see our problem? Say, well, I don't know all about it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what God's doing. But you're not supposed to be living the symbol form of it. All you need to know is that you are the reality form. Do you realize the coming of Christ just isn't Christ coming in the sky, but He must fulfill it in body form first? So what's the reality? You are the reality. You are the fulfillment. But you see, you say you're nothing. You say it's out there. Well, God is trying to fulfill it in you right now. I better hurry up. I know I've been long. Don't you see it, church? I'm going to try to close pretty quick here. Notice, it says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is that? At the revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole revelation of Jesus Christ has already been opened to you. What is that talking about? Is that talking about a millennium? Great white throne judgment? Why would God give you a book and call it the book of Revelation if you weren't supposed to see that grace would come in its fullness at the opening of that revelation? Hallelujah. That's right now. It started back there. Oh God, if I could only see a rapture. The rapture happened, started back there. When's the rapture going to be fully fulfilled? Sure, the last soul comes in. I know we won't play that card. But what about when you come to the reality form of the coming of Christ? Oh God, if I could just overcome. How can't you overcome? How can I overcome? Why do we let the devil push us around and beat us up? The revelation of Christ has already come forth. See, the scripture says, 2 Corinthians 3:18, for time's sake, says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, wait a minute. We read in 1 Peter 1 there. It said what? It said they prophesied of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What glory? Here, the glory is you being changed from glory to glory. Glory to glory to what? Into the image of Christ. Well, I can't see it. But the Word says you're being changed into that image. But the image that needs to be changed is not what you're looking at. We walk by faith and not by sight. You need to see that the Word says that what? Your revelation of the Word. Putting you where you need to be. Do you realize if you had the revelation, you wouldn't act like the way you act? I wouldn't act the way I act. If we just believed what He said. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, don't you realize that at the revealing of Christ, there's also the revealing of the sons of God. Well, what is manifestation? It means to make known, to reveal. So there's a revealing of Christ, and that reveals the bride. So how long are we going to allow the sufferings of this present time to hold back the glory which shall be revealed in us? Well, Paul's fulfillment isn't your fulfillment. Paul couldn't be what you are. He lived way back there. You're the fulfillment of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He revealed himself to take the manifestation and make known what you are. Second Thessalonians 1:7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Semicolon. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Do I need to go into that? Romans 8:26. We'll close on this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you realize what that is? That's what we just read in 1 Peter. It's showing that what he did with them, he does the same thing with you. He did it with the Acts church. But do you realize that you're coming up to the full level of it? Right. We should already have it. So notice, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So don't worry. The Holy Ghost is going to finish the will. He's going to do what he said he would do. But you have to see where you're living at. I don't want a supernatural to be given to me one day before the rapture happens. I want to see what I am right now. I want to accept what I am right now. And God, let it come. Not, I'm tired. Aren't you tired of symbol form? Aren't you tired of saying, well, I know it's going to be that? Right. When you see the reality form, you know what it is. Why do you know what it is? Because the reality form that you know it is what you are. Hallelujah. Right. Oh. Now, you love God? Remember, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God which is in God, the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Amen? We got the Holy Ghost. We need to let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost. We need to realize that we are the fulfillment. Not then, but now. You love the Lord? Let's stand. Going to move into communion. Feet washing now. Only got one service today. Thought it'd be a wonderful thing. We get everybody here for this today. Got a couple out, but by the grace of God, I knew some people were going to be running, so precious sister Cindy didn't make it, so it's all right. But by the grace of God, who's here is here. Amen. And just want to share this time together with us. We're realizing that feet washing is a commandment of God. Praise God. Amen. Communion is commanded of God. So what we're really doing is just fulfilling the commandment of God. Why? Because we love God.
Amen.
Amen. So now, maybe we'll just say a prayer. How many would like to say today, God, I want to be the fulfillment of this word. God, I want you to reveal this to me, God. Lord, break it from being some sort of a symbol form, and Lord, let the reality shine here. Let me search the Spirit of God within me. Let me search out. If I got it on flesh form or just a spirit, God, I want to find it out, God, because I know you can bring the full revelation of what it is. You believe God can do that? Let's just pray real quick. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, Lord, we know time's far spent, Lord. We know, God, that the Word is true, God, and you've been graceful to us, God. But Lord, I ask today, God, as we heard the Word of God, Lord, I pray, Lord, we just did our best to get aside the way. But I ask, God, you reveal it to your church, God. I know there's something very special about this church, Lord. Because, Lord, the testimony of Jesus Christ, the spirit of prophecy, oh God, has said so many great things about this body, Lord. I pray, oh God, it doesn't matter if everyone thinks we're rejects or crazy or whatever they think, God. Lord, because the Word has already spoken what we are, God. We believe the Word, not some sort of a carnal lie, God. And Lord, I ask today, God, that Lord, as we move into what this is, God, I pray, Lord, let us get stronger and stronger, knowing, God, that this ain't something far off, but we are the here and now. The coming of Jesus Christ in bride form, Lord. I just ask today, God, that you just give us strength, God. Turn our hearts to thy word, God. And Lord, give us strength to follow you and to search you out and know, God, to prove you, Lord, for what you are. Because, Lord, we believe with all our hearts if we prove you, God, you will certainly, oh God, not pass us by. Lord, get the sin, get the iniquity, get all these other first loves out, God. And Lord, bring forth a true heart's desire to serve you, Lord. We just pray, bring it now, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11. To partake in communion today, you just have to be a Christian. You accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, and you believe that God has set you free, then you're a good candidate for communion. Amen? So we don't want to hold anyone back from that today. And if you don't feel comfortable feet washing, that's all right too. But yet, we understand that in the book of John, it tells us to do these things. But if we had to open up our Bibles, I'd like to open up to 1 Corinthians 11, 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." Amen. So at this point in time, we're going to move into communion. Those who aren't able to stay. You're dismissed at this time. We're going to sing that song, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary.